From the heart of Tornado Alley here in downtown Southeast Missouri, it's Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 Network. It took me a second to realize that because it's raining behind us and the rain throws off my groove. It's like in that movie,
The Emperor's New Groove.
No, it's like the movie with the vests and it rains and then they can't bite me. All right, so the show tonight. My name is Shannon Young.
Was I supposed to get that reference?
You were not.
Okay.
Mr. 100 here with you tonight, as always. Down at the end of the table, we got the Big D, Dalton Anthony.
Yo.
And next to him, here to my left and Dalton's right, is the filthy-mouthed, horribly sailor-talking...
Possibly anti-Semitic,
Ali Adolf Bear. The things you said, and we have screenshotted... The proof of the terrible things that she said.
Hate.
And we may release it in the future.
All of you.
We don't know.
What did I do?
What did he do?
What did the table do?
Seriously.
Oh, Ace is going to be.
Does the table have a star on it?
Oh, God. Let's end it there before one of us gets hit. It will be me.
Ace Gray not here with us tonight. By the way, we're joking about Allie. She's the best one among us. That is for sure. Allie. Allie, how you doing tonight? How's that scraggy?
It's fine.
Is his body too scraggalicious for you, baby?
So why is that Derek's?
Why is he flipping Derek off?
It's not
flipping Derek off, isn't it?
No, it's not.
It should be.
That's what his hands look like. And that's because on my thing where I said, what Pokemon should I do next, he suggested Scraggy. And then whenever I posted my Squirtle, he...
Posted again that wasn't
angry Scraggy.
I don't know why you think that being such a quiet person that you could be so far from the microphone when you talk.
That's true.
Because I'm talking louder than I normally do.
You weren't just then.
You were at a whisper,
practically. Dalton, do me a favor. Take a picture of that Scraggy, post it online, and ask everybody if it looks like they're flipping them off.
I'll screenshot it when she posts, and I'll be like, hey, does it look like the Scraggly's flipping you off?
Yeah.
You're not even saying his name right.
Scraggy.
Scraggly.
Scraggly.
Scraggalicious.
Scrabble.
Scrabble.
This Tom has Bosley. So much to do with wrestling.
It does. You're going to start with the show.
Ace
we're
going to.
Yeah, that's like Asa, but I really hope Asa's not listening. Can you put in the, like...
Do an anti-Asa, like we did for Aaron Britton?
No. Just put, like, Asa don't listen to this one in the show.
I think he knows not to listen to it. Asa is out with some kind of illness today.
Yeah. He's been sick for, like, 2 weeks.
Yeah, so unfortunately, because of that, we also couldn't do live because it would have just been like me, Dalton, and Allie. And we already did me and Dalton last week, so the bloom's off that rose.
Yeah, we wasted that one really quick.
Allie would have done it. She would have done a great job, but we just decided not to do it. We'll be back next week with live again, talking about Inferno 3. But tonight, we have big news to talk about. First off, of course, over the weekend, we had the gigantic... AEW All Elite Wrestling Double or Nothing show. I did not watch it myself. I've heard nothing but good things about it, except for a couple people who said it was okay. And I don't know. I didn't watch it. You're looking at me.
Yeah.
You tell me. How was it? Because I know you watched it with Mr. Hills and Mr. Gray, didn't you?
Yeah. We had a big watch party at my house because, again, I am a big fan of paying for these things. I reported like... at least two streams.
So I wanted to talk to you about that because I saw you got into it with somebody, won't say who, online about you reporting somebody for streams because, of course, everyone knows snitches get stitches. But I want to go on record as saying that if I knew somebody was doing something harmful to someone else or was costing people money, I would snitch on every person I could. They would have to give me a suit. I would have an S on it, but it doesn't stand for Superman. It stands for snitchy. And I'd fly around the city snitching on everyone I
see. I was going to say your name was going to be Snitcher Man, but that works too.
Allie, what's my favorite food? Snitchel beans.
Jesus. No, so, and that's just kind of my little off tangent of just like, I don't like whenever people are like, oh, I'm a big fan. I want to support this. And then you actively steal it while it's going on.
Yeah.
Now, like, I saw a couple of matches the next day that were recorded and then put on Facebook. I'm like, all right, that's less egregious in my opinion. But when you're flat out, like, streaming the thing as it's going on, you're a dick. Like, there's no... And here's the thing, like, you can tell me, well, the money. I had, like, 8 people at my house.
Yeah.
It was me, Sadie, Billy, Asa, Derek was there. Like, And if we would have split, like, I was going to pay for it anyway, so I just said, just bring your own food. That's all I was worried about. Like, I was going to pay the 50 regardless. You get eight people in a room, divide that by 50, it's like $6 of $6 to $7 a person.
You mean divide 50 by 8?
Did I do it backwards? Yes. Fuck off. I'm tired. I had to work today, and I wasn't expecting it.
4 hours.
Yeah, it happens. So, like, support them properly.
Yeah.
Go to Pro Wrestling Tees, buy their shirt. That's the joke. They're a t-shirt company. They have a bunch to pick from.
I get the argument that, I think it was the same person said, well, more people get to see it. Plus, that's a billionaire that's running it. He's not hurting for money.
I don't care if it's a billionaire if somebody has $10 to the name running this show.
But
that's not the point.
I think more so the argument of like, well, what if it opens up people's eyes that maybe haven't, that wouldn't watch it otherwise? And I don't know, man. I'm with you. I agree with you. I do.
I mean, there's 50 arguments to it, but at the same time, like, because that person made that argument to me, and I countered it with, well, hey, by that logic, the people that got exposed to it are going to steal it the next time, too. So that's even more revenue loss. Like,
what about if somebody had streamed, like, Super Show?
I would have reported it.
No, I'm just saying to that person. The people that are like, you know, that are like, oh, well, don't snitch and stuff like that. It's like, okay, but then what if it's your business? If it's your business that people are stealing money from, I bet you'd have a different view of it.
Well, yeah, it's the whole thing. Like, I don't want anybody. Now, don't get me wrong. Like, as new as I am, I want everybody to see my matches as possible. But I'm also not, like, I've posted one match, one entire match online of mine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think I share it whenever I'm on Chaos. Mm-hmm. And, of course, like I was saying, go to Fight TV and buy Super Show.
Yeah.
I have posted one full match that wasn't televised at all. You could have only watched that. It was my very first one. You could have only watched that match if you were there. And then I put it on my Facebook.
Right.
So, like, yeah, I guess technically I broke copyright, but I really didn't because, like, nobody lost money. But
please tell us that text was from your mom saying, why did you say all that stuff on Facebook?
Allie.
No, it is not.
Damn. But, yeah, no. So it's one of those.
Is it about me?
It's Elizabeth asking about parties.
Okay. So... I want to get off that though, but like, I think Fighter Fest is going to be next month.
Yeah.
June 14th. I'm going to buy that one. Hopefully it's like, cause I think, Khan said that it was going to be like that price point's going to be very selective.
Yeah.
So like All Out, I think is what's the next, like the next big one. That'll
in
be
Chicago.
Yeah. All
Out.
That one's going to be $50. And I honestly, after watching Double or Nothing, I have no issue paying another $50 for this.
Well, I mean, that's, I know in the day and age of the network, that seems outrageous. But I mean, back in the old days, that's what a pay-per-view was.
I mean, that's what, I mean, and that's why I'm saying, like, go to people's houses and split the cost. That's what I used to do for WWE shows.
Yeah.
And if I'm willing to pay $25 to split it, a $50 pay-per-view in half to watch TLC, like, 2015, whenever they unified the belts.
Yeah.
Like, I am more, well, it would have been like 2013, but like I am more than willing to pay $50 to see the very first All Elite Wrestling show.
What if it's your favorite, like your a local band that you're friends with, and they put out a CD?
I pay for the CD.
Right. What I'm saying, like, and if people are like sending the music out for free, you know, they're illegal copying it instead of buying the album. It's like support the artists.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't downloaded anything illegal in. God, ever. I don't download music illegally. I use Spotify, which in itself...
not illegal.
But some people would be like, you know, Taylor Swift pulled all of her music from her once.
Yeah. That's fine. Let's say it's on Apple Music. I have Apple Music.
Yeah, but
so.
I pay for it. I stream movies from sites that I pay for. I stream games from sites. I don't download anything illegal anymore. Because once you get a job and you get money, you want to support stuff, then you should do that.
And it's one of those... So,
especially a company that's just starting out.
Yeah. And it's one of those, if you're one of those people that complain about WWE all the time... which some of the people I saw sharing the streams bitch about WWE, and you want to support AEW, you're not supporting them.
Right.
You're letting more people see it, but you're also stealing. So that being said, I want to get off of that.
Let's move on to...
That's my tangent that I wanted to say about that, because I've had that heavy on my chest for like 4 days that I just really wanted to say.
Let's start with AEW, though. I know we have... Asa has it at the end of the list. Asa, of course, even though he's not here, did us a solid and made up the list.
Which is good.
Which is good, but also at the same time. Boy, I hope you know what he's talking about in some of these.
Because, I know. Yeah, I know.
Because some of these we might just be feeling around on our dicks, which is going to be real awkward.
Yeah, I know. I know most of these. Like, I read through it whenever I was at work, and I was like, yeah, I know all this.
Tell me your thoughts about AEW. How was Double or Nothing?
I loved it. It was not the perfect show, by any stretch of the imagination.
Is that simply because Glacier did not win the casino battle royal?
I was really bummed out by that. But it was really cool to see Glacier and Marco in the that casino battle royale.
It was scary to see Marco get bounced from the ring like that. Like, that's always a scary spot for me.
Yeah. We saw it coming, though, because we were just like, oh, no, because that the ace, Romero, that's the one that did that first pounce out of the ring.
Yeah.
It was cool seeing that. I loved the entire thing. I think they gave us just enough to want the next big show. And if you're even a little bit hooked, like, you, there's a show coming up, Fyter Fest. Like, there's enough meat on the bone before the TNT AEW
series
shows.
Starts, yeah.
Their production quality was really good. They did some really weird camera stuff at the beginning of the show that I think kind of mellowed out towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd was white hot for that entire show, though.
Because you're pulling in, like, the hardcorest of fans for AEW. This is not a casual show.
No, and the people there, definitely not. Whenever the tickets sell out in under 4 minutes, you sell 12,000 seats in 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting the hardcore fans at that point. Nobody limped in and got a ticket.
Right.
Match quality was great. The complaints that I had are super minor. The commentary was a little off, but I also think it's because Jim Ross isn't just doing it as much as he used to.
Yeah, and I did read some criticisms about Jim Ross.
And he wasn't as familiar with the people as he should have been.
He knew Billy Gunn.
Well, I mean, and the people that, like, he was supposed to know, he knew, and, like, he put everybody over accordingly, but it wasn't, like...
Well, to be fair, there were some people in that battle royal that I didn't, like...
I mean, there was a lot of people in that battle royal I didn't know.
Yeah, and I'm not nearly up on indie wrestling as you are. Like, yeah, you are much better, but, like...
Like, Sunny Days, I didn't know.
Luchasaurus, I had no idea who that was.
I only knew him through being the Elite.
Joey Janela, whoever the hell that is.
Oh, I love Joey Janela. Orange Cassidy was there for a hot second. That was fun.
MJF.
He was, so...
I heard was MVP of the night.
He was, and I'll go back to that in a second, but the...
Marco Stunt, of course, was there, our good
Marco
friend.
Marco being there was, it was awesome. All of the matches were, like, really good. There was, I mean, of course, it's a wrestling show. Not everything was perfect. Lucha Brothers Young Bucks was insane.
See, I really wanted to see Dustin versus Cody. Was that good?
That was a really good match, minus one thing that is a personal taste, and I think Ace would agree with me. Dustin bladed. And he did what I would lovingly refer to as an Eddie Guerrero blade job.
Oh, he gigged?
Yeah, and it was deep.
Ugh.
Because, like, I mean, the pictures are all over.
I saw them, yeah.
Yeah, the entire canvas was covered. Like, Ace said it best. It looked like Cody had a bad spray tan at the end of the match.
So what move did he take? Like, what was the blade job off of?
He got Tully into the middle rope, middle buckle, which was exposed.
Okay.
So he got... Like, Cody grabbed his gear and threw him into it head first, and I think that's what did it, if I'm remembering it correctly. But the match was phenomenal. Like, I think they told a good story. The one thing that I didn't like about that was Cody destroyed a Triple H-esque throne during his entrance.
Yeah, see,
he took a sledgehammer and hit it.
I saw. And a lot of people were upset about that. I was actually going to talk to you about that. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I mean, if it's one of those things, like, if you go back to his original promo of just being like, I'm not here to kill Dusty, I'm here to kill the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
I mean, you're effectively doing that.
Plus, I think WWE, you know, I would much prefer them stay separate, where AEW does AEW things and WWE does WWE things. But WWE kind of shot first.
At the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that pissant comment about the company, like, that had to rub Cody the wrong way. And
sure it did.
I thought it was a great moment because it wasn't subtle by any means of the imagination, but it was a good middle finger.
Oh, yeah, it was a solid middle finger.
And now he's got a good nickname, the Thronebreaker. That's a cool name.
Thronebreaker. That's funny. But no, like, that was super minor. Like, I'm okay with the jabs. It's annoying, but I'm cool with it. Like, all right, it's business, and that's how you guys are going to run. WWE threw a shot at AEW Monday night, so.
Well, by throwing a shot, they mentioned their name, which was like, we'll talk about that when we come to Raw, but that was baffling.
But no, like, top to bottom, go out of your way. I don't know if it's still $50 on. I watched it on Bleacher Report. Apparently, Xfinity sucked.
Yeah, like, I heard they had some major problems with
But Bleacher Report, I watched the entire from buy-in to the end of the show, which was from 6 to 10:30. I never had a single stream issue that I'm aware of. It might have buffered once or twice, but it was consistent throughout.
Doable.
Yeah, I mean, more than doable. Like, I think it only made, like, the really bad... We had more issues watching WWE pay-per-views here.
right.
than I had watching at my house. And that could be internet usage and stuff like that. But
well, it was a resounding success.
Yeah.
I think they did. Most people I heard were pleased with it.
200,000 plus buys.
Yeah, that's what the number I heard as well. And at $50 a pop.
That ain't bad. No, and for your first outing. 200,000
buys, 300,000 illegal downloads. I mean, congrats, guys.
Oh,
that's half a mil.
Jeez. The show was awesome. MJF was the MVP, so he was like, AEW definitely had that feel of there were no heels except for one guy, and MJF. It was MJF. That's the same guy that said, did I show you the clip where he told the one guy, oh, your kids are out hideous? So he was just shit talking everybody in the Battle Royal. So Hangman Page won the Battle Royal. And so he's the number one contender along with Chris Jericho, who beat Kenny Omega. Well,
so it's going to be Page Jericho as the first AEW champion.
Yeah. I am on board for that match. Bret Hart, which that was a big thing. They had Bret Hart come out and unveil the new title.
Which that title looked great.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It was very pretty. And very cool that Bret Hart came out. And kind of, to me, lends credibility to Vince Russo's theory that this is all a work. And that AEW and WWE are in bed together.
I don't think that even a little bit.
I think they absolutely are. I have a good authority that by this time next year, we will have our first AEW versus WWE pay-per-view.
I don't think that'll happen. But anyway, MJF.
It's called No Chance in Hell.
There it is.
Yeah. Okay.
MJF comes out in the middle of the unveiling and says, like, it starts running down like the crowd. And he starts on Bret. And right when he starts on Bret, like, he says, like, one line. He's like, oh, Bret, watch out, a fan. Which, poor taste, which is what he was supposed to do. But the look on Bret Hart's face, Bret Hart loves MJF. Like, he was just, like, smiling at him the entire time. I almost made a face.
That surprises me.
No, he was a fan of it, because I think it's one of those things, like, MJF definitely goes back to old school heel, where he just, like, will shit-talk everybody. He doesn't care to get booed. But the whole Bret watch out a fan, and then it cuts to Bret, and he is just corpsing. Like, me and Billy were just like, so Bret Hart loves that man. Because, like, he did such a good work.
He probably just loves not being in WWE.
Nobody tackled him there.
Yeah.
Go out of your way to watch it legally.
The hell was that?
Off. My phone's going off. Apparently, Kazoo's freaking out of the house.
Well, yeah, it's like I can see the tornado forming out there.
So, top to bottom, go out of your way to watch it. Kenny Jericho was phenomenal. They had a more of a wrestling match, so I think you would like this one more than the Wrestle Kingdom one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing it. Jeez.
There it is.
Okay, that was some serious thunder. So it's not like we haven't had tornadoes up and down the freaking country in the past week. So
now we got a thunderstorm here.
And a tornado warning.
But yeah, go out of your way to watch it. I can't endorse it enough. If you are tired of what WWE is doing, which, boy, when we get to Raw, you'll hear how much I'm tired of it.
It was rough.
This is an awesome alternative. This is what I always say to people that are tired with WWE. I say, watch New Japan then. But they say, I don't know any of the wrestlers. They have Cody Rhodes. They have Goldust. They have Chris Jericho. They have, like, the Young Bucks are becoming a more and more known entity in America.
Glacier's
in
Billy Gunn.
Billy Gunn is a part of it. Dean Malenko is going to be a backstage agent.
Arn Anderson, Jim Ross.
Speaking of Arn Anderson, he signed a
disclosure.
Yeah, a disclosure agreement. Yeah, he will never talk about why he got fired from WWE.
That's probably for the best.
Probably, because he was like talking about it.
And you know who else they have?
Who?
They have Jon Moxley.
Yeah.
This is us segueing into the first story. So Jon Moxley, a.k.a. Dean Ambrose, the former Dean Ambrose from WWE, made his debut at AEW's Double or Nothing, came out at the end. He laid out Chris Jericho, and I guess my first question is...
Laid out Chris Jericho, laid out Kenny Omega twice.
Yeah.
So killed the ref.
My question for you is, does this mean, do you think he has officially left WWE at this point?
I think he has left WWE at this point.
Allie, is this still a work?
No, I think he's gone.
Okay, well, unanimous. Jon Moxley is probably gone from WWE.
We were in a room with a bunch of people that are around wrestling all the time at my house, and we still, like, it was like AJ at the Royal Rumble, where, like, me and Asa got up. Like, I didn't get up, but, like, we, like, yelled. It was insane seeing him there. He looks like he is just ready to wrestle again.
Yeah, without all the stupid crap WWE puts up.
Yeah, it's going to be him versus Janela at Fighter Fest, which, yep. Hoo boy, give me that.
Which John Moxley was on. We mentioned it earlier, or maybe we mentioned it on the pre-show.
That was on the pre-show, yeah.
John Moxley was on. It's so weird saying John Moxley. John Moxley was on Chris Jericho's podcast
this morning.
Yeah, and was talking. And by the way, he is competing for the. I do want to mention he's competing for the U.S. Championship at New Japan Pro Wrestling. He's wrestling for both companies.
Yeah, the IWGP U.S. Championship.
But those companies are not working together. Mm-mm. So this is a strange situation.
I think he is signed to AEW, but I think AEW is going to allow him to work other promotions.
Right.
Which. Good for him because after you listen to us in this amazing podcast that we're giving you, go out of your way to watch the Jericho podcast, Talk is Jericho. It's John Moxley emancipated from WWE.
Yeah.
I think it's the title of it. Go out of your way to listen to it. It is a really good – if you thought CM Punk was too complainy in his podcast with Colt Cabana about leaving WWE, listen to Moxley's. He has his complaints, but he also does give them credit where credit is due. But he does explain the last, like, 2 years of his career at WWE,
yeah,
which sounded like a nightmare.
I read about some of the things they wanted him to do, some of the things he absolutely refused to do. It's an interesting listen, and I definitely recommend it as well.
Whenever he made the comment about Roman Reigns' cancer on WWE TV, and we were like, whose idea was that? It was Vince's.
Of course. Or Ryder. Or somebody. It wasn't John Moxley's. It wasn't Dean Ambrose's.
Yeah. It was written for him to say, and he was not a fan of it. They were going to apparently make him – they were going to have him do another one, and he read it. And he said, I'm not even going to mention it on this podcast.
Yeah, so no one knows what it is, but he said whoever wrote it should be ashamed of themselves.
Yeah.
Said they would have lost – he probably would have been fired. They would have lost the support of Susan G. Komen. They'd have to put out apologies. So I'm wondering what they said that was so bad, or what did they wanted him to say that was so bad.
Here's the thing. I don't know – like, I don't know how bad it honestly is, but when you're dealing with cancer, it's all bad.
Yeah.
So it's one of those, like, even, like, the passing comment that he made was...
Man, that's still a hard conversation for me because if WWE is entertainment, then I feel like entertainment should have the right to do storylines about real-world issues, including cancer. But I also agree with what everyone else said when we brought it up a while back, that they don't have the talent to deal with a cancer storyline correctly.
I don't think any wrestling promotion has the talent to deal with a cancer. I do not think professional wrestling is a place to deal with a cancer storyline.
I think if you're writing a story and you want to put it in, you absolutely have the right to. I'm not saying they'll do it well, but I think they absolutely have the right. Because it's a story. It's a storytelling point.
Remember that thing we always go back to with a wrestler versus an actor? Of like, Tom Cruise doesn't get called Maverick while walking down the street.
Yeah, but wrestlers are closely tied to the character that they portray.
Yeah, and that's the big difference.
That is a public, I feel like that's the public perception, but that doesn't change the fact that it is a scripted entertainment, and if they can have storylines about love and life and cheating and stuff like that, then I don't think anything should be off the table from a like censorship point of view, but I also feel like they shouldn't touch it out of just, they don't have the skill for it. They don't have the skill for it. You can't tell me that they can.
They may have the skill for it. I think it's the wrong medium. And you would be really hard pressed to push me off that. Like,
well, I'm not here to change your mind. I'm just giving my opinion on it. I have heard that the WWE, it's movies. Oh, I forgot you have a touchscreen.
Yes.
Well, uh-oh. The show's just. No, I'm just messing with you.
Okay,
we're
good.
Still good.
About to say, I was like, well, my basement's flooding right now, so.
Really? Jesus.
Yeah, it wasn't Kazoo, it was the basement. So I was like, let me stay here as long as I can.
Well, let's let's keep going then and get this over with so Dalton can get out of here. Go listen to that podcast with Chris Jericho.
Yeah, it's,
real good up-and-comer Chris Jericho. I think he's going to go places in this industry with John Moxley.
But no, like the Moxley comparison, like Moxley going to AEW and the way he looked and the way he's talking about it and just him cutting, like he had the Paradigm Shift promo.
Yeah.
And all that, like, he is excited the way that Chris Jericho was excited to be in New Japan. Which, I think when you have wrestlers that are just excited to wrestle,
yeah,
that's whenever you're...
A happy worker is a productive worker. You can tell when wrestlers aren't happy with what they're given, and they're just kind of going in and half-assing it because they have to. And that feels like Dean Ambrose for the past couple of months. Cody Rhodes toward the end of his career.
Moxley was very, like, he was talking about that during the podcast. He was just like... I knew how to cut promos my entire wrestling career. That's one thing you work on. But whenever you have somebody come up here and say, hey, I have this for you, and then you say no, like he said, somebody got notes from Vince McMahon saying, Dean needs to stop questioning promos and stop trying to rewrite them. That was apparently, allegedly, if you're hearing it from Moxley, he said that Vince McMahon said that he needs to stop trying to rewrite promos. But then you have the moment where somebody makes a cancer comment in a promo that he's afraid that can actually get him fired.
It again goes back to the idea, though, that you're accepting a paycheck from somebody. This is what he wants you to say, so say it.
Mediums are different. I get what you're saying, but mediums are different.
And again, I'm not saying I agree with it. Like, we've all been in a situation where we get something, we're like, oh, but maybe we could tweak this a little bit and make it better. But, you know, when it boils down to it, it's like, okay, here's the money I'm giving you to do this job. I am your boss. I'm telling you what to do. Now do it. And that is the end of it. Like, there's no arguing that point.
Yeah, so, and in fairness, Dean Ambrose did all of that.
He did. In the interview I read, he said, all right, this is what you want me to say on your show that you own. Cool, I'll do it.
Yeah, and
he hated it.
He only questioned it if it was a complete moral objection at that point.
Yeah, I think there's a line.
Yeah, so, and this one just boggled my mind. So, do you remember what his last appearance on WWE was?
Was it like the Shield reunion stuff or something before
It was
that?
The Shield reunion where it was a random house show.
Yeah, and they made it to a network special, didn't they?
They made it to a network special.
Yeah.
How much money do you think he made on that night?
Knowing with the tone of your voice, $0.
He made money.
Okay.
He made $500 that night.
Oh.
Which, like, not for nothing.
Yeah.
$500 for a night of wrestling. I wouldn't.
That's a brand new Oculus Quest.
I wouldn't brush it away, even a little bit. But apparently that's like what extras, like people that work a dark match there, get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Dean Ambrose, who was one of the third of the people that you were, like, did an entire network special around, got, like, bare minimum pay that day. So, WWE. He's like, I think I'm going to frame that check. And then Jericho's like, I wouldn't cash it. Just keep it as a just point of contention.
It's a weird thing. You sign the contract, you're told you're going to make this amount of money, and they do stuff like this, and you feel entitled to make extra money because it's about you. But at the same time, you signed the contract saying, this is what I agree to do.
Oh, I mean, no. And, like, he didn't complain about it. Like, he said, he's like,
I would complain. I think that's bullshit, too. It's just, such a hard thing to deal with.
He did say, though, like, he left the company correctly. Like, he let his contract lapse. He didn't do anything, like, screwy or anything like that. He just told him, hey, I'm leaving at this date, which he was even baffled by the whole WWE announcing it.
I was baffled by it.
Like, he said, he was like, I mean, cool. Like, it's giving people notice that I'm not going to be there anymore, but this is why people think it's a work.
Vince Russo legitimately thinks that this is all a work, and, like, I don't agree with him. Obviously, that's stupid, but at the same time, I was confused about why WWE was pushing Dean Ambrose so hard.
It was a power move. It was trying to get him to resign.
Yeah, and boy, did that backfire on them.
I mean, he was done. He knew he was done.
They just hand-delivered, you know, Jon Moxley to AEW with all the hype behind him instead of what they normally do of bury the talents. That way it diminishes their return.
But, yeah, he was saying, like, if somebody wants to buy a Shield DVD in Indonesia in 3 years, I'm going to get my 42 cents. So, I mean, he did everything correctly, so good on him. But, yeah, go listen to that. I'm super happy to have Moxley on the independents. Well, AEW, as independent as he is going to be.
It's no longer independent. And we're moving on because now we're 30 minutes into the show with one story, and you wanted to be done in an hour.
No, it's fine. The rest of them are short stories.
You say that. Yeah. We'll find something to argue about. Dave Meltzer says the 24/7 championship idea came from the USA Network, who pitched several – this is Asa writing this – who pitched several ideas, all terrible. This was the best of the bunch. I believe that, and that's sad. The 24/7 championship, so here's how bad it is.
They broke their own rules within a week and a half of having it.
They did. And, Al, you'll be happy to know, and I'm sure Ace is very excited about this, that Elias won his first championship in WWE. He won the 24/7 championship for about an hour?
Hour and a half.
And he lost it again. So good on him.
But yeah. R-Truth is the first two-time 24/7 champion.
He's going for the 16 times. What if he beats Ric Flair's record?
Oh, God, that'd be hilarious.
17 times.
No, champion. That got beaten with the hardcore title, I'm pretty sure. Oh, I'm pretty sure Raven holds like an ignorant amount of title victories over with that belt because they would defend it at house shows.
Yeah.
Did you see his Old Town Road remix?
R-Truth? No,
with the 24/7 belt.
I just saw the Old Town Road video the other day.
You need to watch R-Truth. It's amazing. But I don't know why they just didn't make a TV title.
To be defended on TV?
WCW had a TV title. ECW had a TV title. And if USA, the TV network, is pitching an idea, why wouldn't WWE be like, we can make a TV title.
Have them defend it on Psych.
And then it can be an actual belt.
Well, this is an actual belt.
Okay, it can be an actual good-looking belt.
It has a logo on it and everything. I get what they're going with this. They want to have a title that anything can happen. And The problem is they don't have good enough writing. The writing's not there. They don't have someone like a Crash Holly who takes it and makes it fun.
I mean, no, R-Truth is making it fun. I will say, like,
he's doing the best he can with what he's given. He's doing a good job of this angle.
Yeah, I think he is doing, like, oh, that sounds like a shot at me now.
It was not a shot at you.
Like, he is doing a good job with what he has. And I think it's because they've leaned so hard into this PG era. Because Mick Foley came back. Reinstitute the hardcore type. Oh, wait, we can't say hardcore.
So you had Mick Foley come on. Mick Foley came on and showed off their new title, the 24/7 title, got booed out of the building.
Which is basically the hardcore title.
Meanwhile, Bret Hart brings out the new AEW title.
Middle fingers all around.
Michelangelo.
But yeah, like the fact that it's not a TV title, and you can make it an actual belt.
You keep saying that. It is a belt.
You can make it an actual, almost prestigious-looking title.
That title will never be prestigious, though, Allie.
Yes.
But you could have built something.
I don't know. What?
Oh, no, you were going to say something, but Dalton cut you off.
Because
so
he keeps saying you can make an actual belt. You're just angry with how it looks, so you're wanting to say it's not an actual belt.
All right, it's also not prestigious in any way, shape, or form because they didn't make it important.
I mean, you can say that about
that's
most
fair.
Of the belts.
Like, yeah.
All right, the AEW title is going to have Chris Jericho versus Hangman Page in the first title defense. That belt already means something.
I mean, that depends on how you feel about Chris Jericho and Hangman Page. I agree with you, but there was definitely going to be someone out there who says, why is Chris Jericho, this old guy, going for this new title? Why is Hangman Page, he doesn't belong in the title picture? There's always going to be people that complain.
I mean, yeah,
there are people, I guarantee, that will defend the 24/7 belt to no
end. Oh, there
win.
Are. Yeah. Billy and I had a conversation about it. I said I like the rules of the belt. I think they're going to do cool things with it, but don't show me something that you're acting is so important.
Well, no, Asa said it best last week when this is how important it is. R-Truth walks by guys like Drew McIntyre and they ignore it completely.
I watched the SmackDown segment and I was really afraid that they laid out R-Truth like interrupted Shane's like call out or celebration or something to Roman Reigns. R-Truth interrupts it. Drew McIntyre and Elias lay him out, and I was so worried that nobody was going to go for the pin. Because I was like, you just laid out a champion. Air quoting that super hard.
And of course it was Elias because Drew McIntyre gives
above
a shit
it.
About
yeah.
that title.
Yeah. And the best in the world was also above it.
I'm surprised
so,
Shane didn't win it. I really am.
Shane should have had it, but then Roman could have had the belt. And then at that moment, that's something they do not want.
And that's another thing that Roman Reigns lays out McIntyre at the end of the show.
And then lets R-Truth pin
it. And lets R-Truth pin it. Doesn't even go for the title.
Elias, but yeah.
It's just like, take it. It makes me look like a hillbilly.
So again.
Honestly.
I love what R-Truth is doing with it. I think there's a lot of fun to be had with it, but I still think it's a horrible idea. If it was USA's idea, why didn't WWE pitch a TV title?
Hey, speaking of horrible ideas, the first team was announced for this year's King of Trios tournament.
Oh, sir.
No, I stand by it. Scott Steiner, Petey Williams, and Jordan Grace.
All right, so...
Scott Williams and Petey Williams make sense. Scott Steiner and Petey Williams make sense. They were in TNA together. They were a tag team. Petey was little Petey Pump, and he had the chainmail and stuff on. He's in the Steiner Math video. Jordan Grace, like...
is Thick Mama Pump, which is a name that she has given herself since being in the Independence, and it makes sense. That being said, I also just love this team. I think there's a lot of fun to be had. There was one clip of the Joey Ryan-Scott Steiner match that finally showed up. He didn't take the dick flip. He might have in the match, but it wasn't what he showed. He did the atomic drop on Joey, and it hurt his knees. And just hearing Scott Steiner selling his knee, yelling, check his balls...
It's good to see that Scott Steiner can still have some fun.
Yeah, and I think that's what the King of Trios, that's what that is for. Right. And that is a fun Trios team.
If they go in to have fun, because Scott Steiner, when we met him at Super Show 3 just a couple of months ago, he looked very salty. He looked like he was Grumpy Cat before Grumpy Cat unfortunately passed away.
That's just how Scott Steiner looks. Rick looks like that too.
No, Rick looked like he just like... got out of the hotel.
Just got done selling some insurance.
Yeah, just walked over, had his match, and then went back to Hardee's. You know?
Well, he didn't have to change his clothes at all for
he didn't.
Any of that.
Well, he just put his hat on and his name badge, and he was good to go.
God damn it. Stop it. But no, I'm excited. Like, that is a fun, like, it's for Chikara, Shannon. It's literally meant to have fun.
I'm well aware of what Chikara is, believe me. This is the time traveling. Soldier bug fighting. It's
Player Uno and Player Doe showed up at AEW.
It's Lucha Underground. If Lucha Underground was written by like 10-year-olds,
and I love it. I love Chikara. They do some fun.
They
stuff.
Had Dragon there once, which was a guy in a giant dragon suit wrestling. Yeah, it's a special kind of wrestling.
I love it. And I love that team. Like, if that's our first team, I'm excited for this tournament this year.
So do you think the reason you dislike when WWE does dumb shit versus when other places do
dumb shit? It's the same argument that I had about the Joey Ryan's penis party.
Is it because this is tongue-in-cheek and then WWE is meant to be serious and they just suck? Mm-hmm. So if WWE hit a hard left turn and then went into Sharknado territory where they're now self-deprecating and self-aware, would that change your opinion on the product, or would you still go, no, be better?
Well, I mean,
legitimately, I'm asking.
They would still have to give me wrestling, which we'll get on that when we get to Monday Night Raw.
I mean, they gave you a match in the first hour.
Yeah, took 50 minutes to get there. But, like, it's Chikara. If I'm buying a ticket to Chikara, I know what I'm getting. If I'm buying a ticket to WWE, I know what I'm getting.
You don't know what you're getting.
Well, I mean, I'm getting something that's not great.
It's going to be on the scale between 2 to 10 in WWE.
Yeah, somewhere in that scale.
Pro Wrestling Eve will be streaming on an all-women's alternative at the same time WWE is broadcasting Super Showdown. That's pretty funny.
I may actually go out of my way to buy that if I can figure out how to buy it, just because...
Well, it's on the network.
Pro Wrestling Eve? I don't think so, buddy.
I don't know what Pro Wrestling Eve is.
I've heard of them, but I couldn't tell you exactly what it is.
I'm going to look them up real
quick. I knew they were running...
Is it an all-women's wrestling league?
Maybe.
And I just went to print it.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
But
I'm trying
to
get used to this new laptop.
I'm willing to say it'll probably be cheap. Maybe it'll be free. That'd be cool if it is. If not, I might pay to see it just because the Saudi shows are a special kind of evil that I don't like.
What's crazy about the Saudi show is that on paper, I mean, some of it's very iffy because it's very, like, it's geared towards guys that don't know new wrestling. So it's
whenever they were
guys.
Asking for Yokozuna last year.
Yeah.
Yokozuna had been dead for like 15 years. Yeah.
But at the same time, like, a lot of those matches on paper seem like they're going to be fantastic matches.
And I'm not doubting the workers at all.
It's like WrestleMania Part 2, but it's the fact that it's in such a terrible climate. I saw somebody post the other day that was like, you know, it's hard for you social justice warriors to admit change has to start somewhere, and you may not like it, but this is where it starts. So you can disagree with it.
So they're going to turn around an entire country with wrestling? I mean, if that works.
I think the argument is that they could possibly open up some doors that weren't open before.
All right, well, why isn't Charlotte wrestling?
Well, that door's not open yet. They haven't found that
why
key.
Why is it Sami Zayn wrestling?
I mean, they have a gay guy wrestling. I'm not going to out him here in public. So, no, you can look at me all you want. I'm not going to say who it is. If you want to know.
They are not having Aleister Black wrestle because they're afraid his tattoos might incite anger in the people watching because there might be some religious aspects to it. Yeah.
That's true.
So let me reiterate, go buy Pro Wrestling Eve's show that's going to be all women for that time frame. You're going to be supporting a better cause.
From Pro Wrestling Eve is the punk, feminist, empowered women superheroes coming to life.
Hell yeah, that sounds awesome. I'm upset that I never heard about them before today. That sounds like an awesome wrestling federation.
I miss Asa.
Why?
Nothing, no reason, buddy.
I feel like I would like that way more than Super Showdown.
I'm trying to find who their roster is, and I can't see anybody. All right, I see a link for the Shivolution. Let me see what's on the Shivolution.
What match on Super Showdown are you legitimately excited for?
Oh, not a single one.
Okay, and that's the issue.
You can't sell me on that.
Dolph might be fun.
I mean, maybe if not for the fact that you know. I mean, Dolph is dead in the water. He's been dead in the water for years.
I like his stuff recently.
Well, that's what they do all the time, though. This is like the eighth time we've had this conversation of
over the course since we've been doing this show together.
Oh, hey, look, maybe they're going to do something with Dolph now. I'm looking at the right now. Triple H versus Randy Orton is on the show?
Oh, on Super Showdown, I was about to say Pro Wrestling. You've got that one?
Why? I don't care about that match at all. Like, at all. There's no story behind it.
I don't care about Goldberg Undertaker.
Lars Sullivan versus the Lucha House Party?
I'm really upset that three people aren't going to go over one.
I'm really upset that in a climate where they have a guy who was being criticized for being being a racist and a bigot, you're having him kill three Mexicans. He'll probably kill the New Day next month.
No, Kofi still has the belt.
Seth Rollins defending against Baron Corbin?
AJ's hurt.
I know, but like Baron...
I think AJ... I don't know if AJ was one of the people who said they didn't want to go, and then they said he had an injury.
Corbin is the Tishy of WWE. Why are you so into Baron Corbin? He's awful.
I like Baron Corbin a lot.
Kofi Kingston versus Dolph Ziggler, we just talked about. Roman Reigns versus Shane McMahon.
Best in the world, baby.
Finn Balor versus Andrade, that's probably the only one that...
That will be a good
match. That is the only match that I would say I would actually legitimately like to see.
But
that.
I could watch that on SmackDown next week.
Braun Strowman versus Bobby Lashley, you know...
Don't care.
Maybe I'm kind of losing my love for Braun Strowman, though. He's done nothing
for me
lately.
That's been a thing recently with me, too, where I'm just like, I'm kind of burnt out on him.
Goldberg versus The Undertaker would have been really cool in 1999. Not now. And then a 50-man battle royal, because also fuck the Royal Rumble. Also fuck the greatest Royal Rumble. This is the all-time greatest Royal Rumble.
Wait a minute. It was 50 last time, too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but this is 50-plus.
They're doing 50-plus?
Oh, what? I just assume.
Oh, I mean, I'm willing to say they're sticking steadfast at 50.
I'm literally making things up as I go, so don't listen to me. But yeah, it's... I don't even remember what we're complaining about. Yeah, go watch Pro Wrestling Eve. Support women. I guess.
Yeah, no, that's our takeaway on
You're
that one.
You're unsure of that?
Well, I'm not going to say go support this league just because it has women in it.
No, I'm saying support them because at the same time you could be watching WWE Blood Money 3.
And then you turn on Pro Wrestling Eve and the first segment is them like sacrificing babies to their dark god. And you're like, I shouldn't have promoted this without checking the promotion out
like,
a little
what's
bit.
The diff?
Better camera angles in WWE? I don't know.
There it is.
The production's better. Wow. So let's move on. Ric Flair originally supposed to present the WWE or the AEW championship at Double or Nothing. Oh, I did not know that. So yeah. they replaced Rick with Brett.
Which, I mean, you had Conrad Thompson run StarCast. He's going to do 3-for-all out, and the man's insane.
Again, I ask, how if you hear shit like that, how the hell do you not think in some way that...
Because WWE pulled 3 people from... StarCast 2.
That's true, but that Ric Flair would go on that show and present their new belt had to be a slap in the face to WWE and Triple H especially. His icon, his hero, his mentor.
I mean, not really. If you think about it, like, it's one of those that AEW offered him money. Ric Flair is not. So are you telling me that everybody that has a pro wrestling tee store that worked in WWE is their slap in the face? Because I can tell you who has a pro wrestling tee store.
I mean, Booker T was a StarCast.
So I mean, so it was like, I mean, there was a lot of people at StarCast that, or Bret Hart was at StarCast.
And Bret Hart presented the title. I don't know, it's just, there are certain people that when you tell me they're going to be on AEW show, that it makes me go, that's a name I didn't expect.
I think some people like your Ric Flairs and your Bret Harts have carte blanche to do whatever they want.
Ric Flair, I think, especially. Bret Hart, I don't know. Because, I mean, remember how he left the first time.
Yeah, but I think WWE has actively tried to mend that fence, and Bret Hart's been very accepting to it. And also, there's a certain level of...
I have no doubt that there wasn't at least a small bit of pettiness that Bret Hart could go on AEW and present the title as finger to WWE. Because there's no way that... I mean, now when Shawn Michaels shows up on AEW...
That won't happen. He works
then we'll
NXT.
Talk
but
about
like,
conspiracy
the thing that is
theories.
Like, yeah, Bret Hart just accepted a paycheck to be in the Hall of Fame again, but that doesn't mean he's an active member of WWE.
You're saying there's no brand loyalty?
No. Like he can go do whatever he wants whenever he wants, and it might be construed as a slap to the face of WWE, but it shouldn't be. He's just Bret Hart got paid that night
it's
to do that.
People living their life.
Yeah, and I don't think at all that it's WWE is doing that. Like,
so let's say CCW had a no, it's not a good comparison because you're an active wrestler. It's not like. We don't really have any ambassadors.
I'm free to work anywhere I want.
That's
but
true.
I have brand loyalty to CCW.
Because if CCW had like a legitimate rival, not just another promotion around, but like a legitimate rival,
yeah.
And you went over there and did something for them in public, especially something so high profile, I doubt CCW would look kindly on it. But at the same time, you're an active member of the team.
But yeah.
10 years down the road, if you haven't wrestled in a while and you go do and you still work with CCW, but then you go and do something, it might be a little bit different. I don't know.
But it's also one of those like being still involved is very like subjective. Like, yeah, he did a speech that somebody got fired for. So I'm willing to say he didn't care. And he was already at StarCast. I'm sure Cody and the Bucks went up and said, hey, Flair was going to do this. Which Flair has carte blanche to do whatever he wants.
See, Flair's the one that it just shocks me because you know how petty, again, you know how vindictive WWE is. And for WWE to have done so much with Flair, I mean, even he was just on TV, right before Mania with the Batista thing.
I mean, yeah, briefly. And he was the special edition on 2K19 this year. He was all over that game.
I don't know. Like,
I see what you're saying.
I'm not pushing conspiracy theories. I'm not.
I see what you're saying, but it's one of those like when you're dealing with legends like that. It's an appearance.
But doesn't Flair have a Legends contract?
Probably, but that's a different thing.
Man, I would love to know the details of these contracts, because I would love to know if a Legends contract could keep a wrestler from appearing on a rival show, or if it's strictly for video game, you know what I mean, like that post-career stuff.
And I think that's what it is, because...
Because Flair, Hart, and Booker T all have Legends deals, don't they? Actually, isn't Booker T an active member of the WWE roster, at least on commentary and stuff?
He does pre-shows, but I think JBL still does pre-shows.
But JBL's not showing up on AEW.
That's true, but
and probably never would.
But John Bradshaw no doesn't work for WWE anymore either.
Well, I was going to say it's because no one would ask him to be on.
That's fair. Yeah, they don't like bad behavior. But yeah, I know it's one of those, like, I get why you're saying it, but it was a neat moment. And if it is WWE's upset at Bret Hart for it, well, Bret Hart has a lot of reasons to be upset at WWE. Like, the security was so bad at the thing that somebody was able to tackle him. Montreal Screwjob, his brother died. Speaking of which, almost every wrestling podcast, and I mean every wrestling podcast.
Well, we're going to take the opposite stance. What is it?
Talking about Owen Hart's passing.
Yeah.
JR is doing a new podcast with Conrad Thompson called Grilling JR.
How many podcasts does Conrad Thompson need?
Enough, I guess. But he had like JR talk about it, and he was like, I don't talk about this, because JR was right there when he died. And like, I had to stop listening to it.
I mean, I read parts of it. I know he said that he thought that Martha was selfish for not letting Owen into the Hall of Fame.
I didn't see, and maybe that was in the part that he was vividly describing.
Yeah, no.
And I was like, done.
Yeah, no, I didn't listen to it, but I read a recap where he was talking about how he only saw part of the accident and thought it was part of the show until King went over. And again, it's really easy for us to create. You know, we've criticized like Jerry the King Lawler, and we're tired of his shtick, and you know, kind of a garbage person in a lot of ways. But we forget that these people are human. So to hear JR talk about how King went over, saw Owen's condition, came back ghostly white, shaking his head, looked like he was going to cry, you forget that these people are loyal to each other and they love each other. But he did mention that Martha was a little selfish for not letting Owen to the Hall of Fame after all these years, because she is the reason that Owen Hart is not in the Hall of Fame. She has kept him out of it. And there are a lot of people that say she's absolutely right, that she has the right to deny them that because it was their fault that Owen died. There are some people that say, yeah, but do it for the fans. Owen deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. It's a very hard argument to make on both sides because they're both right, I feel. So I don't even I'm not even going to try to put a stake in that one and figure out the right way to go. But I will let Allie.
Why?
Settle the argument right now.
I don't think I can do that, because that sounds like a very difficult argument.
Well, let's say that that match that Dalton and I had.
Mm-hmm.
Dalton put me through the table, but something went wrong. I slipped and broke my neck and died in the ring. And a year later, they want to put me in like a CCW Hall of Fame. Would you let them? Or would you blame them for unsafe working
environments? So since this is a hypothetical, you're still here.
Yeah.
I think it's more important about what...
No, I'm dead.
Okay, yes. In real life, you're dead, but you're hypothetical.
And it, you know,
would you want...
It's too close to what actually happened to Owen, and it's a little disturbing. Let's say I didn't break my neck. My head actually popped off.
And now I'm getting a little, let's not... Like...
Okay.
Like a soda.
But you have worked... Okay, so we're doing this hypothetical... You're with CCW and this happens, and there is an afterlife and you can find out what is going on.
There is?
In this hypothetical, what would you want? Would you think, no?
Oh, so you're going to flip it on me.
Yeah,
yes!
I was about to say we're...
Oh, that's a good
point. So anyway.
That's a good point. I want to answer that question.
Okay.
I would want to go in.
You would think that...
I would, because even though, like, I could... And I obviously cannot speak for Owen Hart, because he tragically did die. All, you know, we're doing hypotheticals. He really lost his life. So I can't speak to what he would do. But if it were me, and there was an accident in the ring for something that I loved, even if it was their fault, accidents happen, I would want to go into the Hall of Fame, because I would, one, I would want my fans to be able to celebrate it, and two... If it's something that I loved, I'd want to be a part of it forever.
But at the same time,
I also see
I get
because it's her husband.
Yeah, like she lost her husband that day.
Right.
The Hart family lost son.
A brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's one of those that like... There's no wrong answer. And I'm a huge Bret Hart. Or not Bret Hart. I mean, he was okay. I'm a huge Owen Hart fan. always have, always will be. And like, I am completely okay with the fact that I will never get an Owen Hart action figure, like a modern day one.
Yeah, because they have old ones, I'm sure, right?
They do, but like, I am not going out of my way to get them.
Right.
Like, I am perfectly fine with that because that is his wife's right to like do that. I'm willing to say that she was traumatized from it. There was an entire family that was affected by it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, no doubt. That's why it's not an easy choice.
Maybe I'll go back and listen to it to hear the context of him saying that about her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, it's one of those that's a situation where I will never blame her for not doing that. Because also, there's no amount of money that's going to make that okay, even if it's just like, oh, we can put him in video games now. I don't care. Like,
there's no amount of money that's going to bring him back.
Yeah, and there's no amount of money to be like, well, I mean, but he gave me a lot of money so he can be in a video game. Like, no, like, there was some carelessness taken that day that didn't need to be taken. And, like, that's what JR talked about. He's like, that got nothing over. Even if it would have been fine, like, it was, oh, that's a cool entrance. That's all. That got nothing over.
Well, did you hear how it was originally supposed to go? There was supposed to be a second wrestler with him.
Yeah, it was supposed to be
Max Mini,
a little dude.
One of the smaller wrestlers, the little wrestlers.
Smaller than Marco.
Yeah, like actual little person. They were going to be strapped to Owen's chest when he came down. And something happened, I forget what it was, that Max Mini didn't do it.
Yeah, it was going to be the next day on Monday Night Raw. Which, and then JR said, so I mean, Owen Hart saved the dude's life.
It reminds me of that, you ever watch the show Quantum Leap?
No.
There's an episode. God damn, that's sad. There's an episode where he leaps into a Secret Service agent who is there when JFK dies, and he jumps in front of the bullet to help when Lee Harvey Oswald takes the shot, and he finds out later that JFK still died. And he's like, "Well, I didn't accomplish anything, you know. John F. Kennedy still passed away." And the guy that runs the whole thing was like, "Yeah, but in the original timeline, his wife died too, so you saved her. So yeah, someone still died, but." You still save another life, and that's good, I guess. I just like Quantum Leap.
But yeah, let's move on. Yeah, Bret Hart had every right to unveil the title at AEW.
Is that where we came from?
Yeah. Yep.
Jesus.
Because I said he had every right to be salty at WWE.
I think everybody does. And that AEW might as well be called, like, I'm going to officially nickname it the Salt Lick. Because it seems, it's like most of the roster are people that are just up and coming and want to create their own thing. But then there's also a small section of like former WWE guys who didn't just leave the company, but they are actively like, fuck those guys, and are using that to create this new thing.
I think there's only like one guy that's actively doing that.
Cody to an extent.
That's the only one I would.
Jericho do. Even to an extent, hearing him talk. Moxley, we just talked about his podcast.
But like they didn't leave on bad terms.
Well, even Cody didn't leave on bad terms. Nobody left on bad terms.
That's
fair. They waited until they got out to flip them off.
Fair enough.
We're going to go over NXT real quick, and then we're going to talk about Raw, and then we're going to get out of here, so we might keep it to an hour. NXT TakeOver 25 is this weekend, and it's coming from New York. Yeah, we've got an NXT pay-per-view this weekend, not in front of a WWE pay-per-view. Yeah.
So it'll be a good weekend of wrestling.
It'll be a quick
one. I'm about to say I'm wrestling that night, so I won't get to see it.
Who are you wrestling? Is this Battle Bowl?
I'm in Battle Bowl, so I don't know anything.
Normally, when we make fun of WWE pay-per-views, I would make a comment about, well, I'd rather see your stuff because it'll be better. But
no, I'd probably rather not see this NXT, time. Yeah.
Matt Riddle versus Roderick Strong.
That'll be fun.
That's going to be an amazing match. Velveteen Dream versus Tyler Breeze.
Whew.
That's going to be an amazing match. That's
did you see the North American Championship. Did you see the promo that led into that?
I did not.
Tyler Breeze comes out, and they take a selfie, and right before he says, hey, Dream, if you put your number on your tights and tell somebody to call you up and nobody answers, that should tell you something. And then he cracks them. Oh, God. I was just like, that was good. I forget how great Tyler Breeze is because they haven't let him do anything on the main roster.
Yeah, it's nice to have Tyler Breeze back in NXT. Oni Lorcan and Danny Burch versus the Street Profits. Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford versus the Undisputed Era. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish versus the Forgotten Sons. Wesley Blake and Steve Cutler. This is for the NXT Tag Team Championship, which is vacant.
Yes.
Because the War Raiders had to vacate the titles when they went up. Shayna Baszler versus Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship. Will this finally be the time that Shayna Baszler loses the title?
She's lost it before. She's a two-time champion.
Who'd she lose it to?
Kairi.
Kairi Sane?
I almost said Io. Kairi Sane.
And Johnny Gargano versus Adam Cole for the NXT Championship.
That'll be fun.
It's going to be a good show, top to bottom, 100%. Now, before we get out of here, what wasn't a good show?
Raw.
Was Raw. I didn't watch SmackDown. Don't even care about it right now.
I watched.
I'm so irritated by Raw. So you have the first Raw after AEW's huge show, Double or Nothing, that went over like hotcakes. And what do? You go an hour without a single wrestling match. And then the first wrestling match you have is Shane McMahon versus...
Roman Reigns' cousin.
Roman Reigns' quote-unquote cousin.
Yeah. I said maybe.
What an embarrassment. What is the thought process in WWE land? Like, you have to know that they know AEW happened. You know
they did, because they had Sami Zayn in a bullshit,
baffling,
talking the electric chair, which, thank God, Seth Rollins broke that thing.
That is a stupid
idea. And hopefully they don't
bring
it back.
That is a stupid idea to let fans ask questions. I mean, the fans are pre-screened, but like Sora calls on Howard Stern's show. People will get through and they will do stupid things.
Yeah.
But let's start.
And I will say Sammy was the only saving grace of that entire.
Well, he was so good in his role.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Like, I was talking to somebody about it this morning. And I said, like, I am not upset. The only reason, like, the only thing that made me upset about that, you could ask me about AEW. If it was any other person than Sami Zayn right now with the character that Sami Zayn has, because then it was funny.
Yeah.
Well,
what purpose did it serve? I've heard arguments that Vince McMahon didn't know about it, and he apparently flipped his lid and was livid that Sami Zayn had the gall to mention AEW on the show. You know, that's not true. You know why? Sami Zayn still has a job.
Yeah. Oh, one of the things I saw on one of the wrestling Facebook pages I'm a part of is Vince McMahon was so livid about it, he added 6 more months to Luke Harper's contract. I was like, damn, that was good.
And then there's the other part of, like, it was in the script, which, again... Why?
Apparently he was supposed to mention it.
Why? Because it wasn't even an insult. It's not like Sami Zayn said something like, you know, oh, you could have asked me about AEW, but clearly no one cares about it. He didn't even do that. He simply said, you could have asked me about AEW.
Yeah.
You might as well have said, hey, kids, did you hear about this new show that's on called AEW? Let's see what's happening right now. All you did was show people that there's an alternative. It makes no sense. This, in all of the stupid things that they've done, this may be the most baffling one, because this did not benefit them at all. They couldn't even think that this was a good segment. All they did was mention the competition without insulting them.
Yeah.
Smart move.
We have Bray Wyatt's character name.
The Fiend.
The Fiend. I'm fine with it. Like... They can play it in some cool stuff that way.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens. I didn't like this one as much. The only part I did like was when Abby the witch said, like, let me rest. I'm tired of living in limbo.
Limbo, yeah.
It's that, like, what is she talking about?
And then he does the limbo and the spider walk.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. The whole Fiend thing, it's whatever.
Ricochet and Cesaro had an amazing match. But in a 3-hour episode of Monday Night Raw, and you give me one amazing match, and I watched 3.5 hours of AEW, Double or Nothing, and I get like 3.5 hours of amazing wrestling, you're lacking.
I think you forget, though, that you like that wrestling. And WWE, honestly, I truly believe they honestly think that their brand that they're doing, that's what people like, that people want. They want these angles. They want it's not that they're like
not every match on Double, and it's super important to note that not every match on Double or Nothing was a spot fest.
Well, I'm just saying wrestling, yes, in general.
Yes, Lucha Brothers and Young Bucks, spot after spot after spot after spot. But
I'm just saying people that actually get in the ring to wrestle. I think WWE thinks that what they provide is something that people want to see. Now, whether they're right or wrong, and they're wrong, is up to you. In that 3-hour show, you had 36, 46. You had 50 minutes of wrestling. 50 minutes of wrestling in a 3-hour show.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that last match did go.
It was 20 minutes long.
Yeah.
And then the Baron Corbin match was 16 minutes.
About to say, because the Shane McMahon and Hawaii match was. That was.
That was an angle.
That was insulting my intelligence.
It was just an angle.
Because he puts him in the submission and then he gets on the mic and starts talking like he's not trying to actively choke this dude out.
Yeah, and
he was talking in the same tone that I'm talking in. And like, as somebody that does that, if somebody would have put me in a chokehold and then got on the mic and just talked in a normal monotone voice,
you'd be upset.
I would have punched him.
Well, except that Shane McMahon.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't work for WWE for a reason. But it's one of
those.
Oh
yeah, that's the reason.
Yeah, and like the talent and the look and I got asked about a camp that I could go to this year, and they said I had to have 11% body fat, and I said, well, that takes me out. But, like, I felt like my intelligence was insulted during that segment. The Shane McMahon, I'm not even going to call it a match. I was insulted.
It was an angle.
I was insulted by that segment. It was just to get Roman Reigns out there to Superman punch McIntyre and try to mess up Shane.
Yeah.
The Cesaro Ricochet match, go out of your way to watch that. That was a really, really good match. Sane and Rollins was good. SmackDown was forgettable. I can't think of anything that happened in SmackDown.
Again, I just can't help but keep going back to the... So when Impact... When they had Hogan come in, mm-hmm. and they decided to go up against Raw.
Yeah.
And WWE knew that there was... They may not have thought it was a threat, but they knew something was coming. What did they do?
They got Bret Hart.
They got Bret Hart. They answered with fire. They brought Bret Hart out for the first time since Montreal. They had Shawn Michaels come out with them. They answered with a huge thing. So what was their answer for AEW's show?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Like
one throwaway line that meant nothing, and
the arrogance is on display. It could, and I think it will bite them in the ass.
It could be WWE thinking that AEW is not competition, which, in fairness, they're not running up against them head to head right now.
Not now, but there's so much hype behind. Like I said, there's so much hype behind AEW. You know they got to know, and it's one thing to say, well, they're not competition, so we're not even going to mention them, because that's what WWE did for the longest time. They never mentioned TNA. They never mentioned Ring of Honor. Then to go with a throwaway line to Sami Zayn, if you could ask me about AEW.
They actively tried to kill WCW, but
insane.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's pissing me off the more I think about it.
I think that's what it is. I think they honestly don't consider them a threat. Brock came out.
Biggest threat to them in a long time, too.
My intelligence being insulted. Let's go back to that.
No. Brock was awesome.
Yes, Brock doing the Brock party. Like, yes, that's...
Brock party.
Brock party.
That's what the hoodie says. Like, it is entertaining.
To see
I will
Brock
give it that.
Jam into the boombox.
But when you're giving me things of Brock Lesnar announces who he's going to face for cash in his thing against, and then you give me one segment he doesn't do it, and I'm like, all right, well, F you. And then you do an entire other segment an hour and a half later and just being like, wait, I have a year?
To be fair, that was also kind of funny, though.
I mean, it was funny.
When he starts smacking Heyman around with the paper, he's like, I have a year? You didn't know? No, I didn't know.
Like, that was kind of funny. But again, that's how much Brock doesn't care about WWE to know what his own contract read.
And yet, Brock not caring was probably the most entertaining part of the show.
Yeah.
Like, Brock party is
Kofi
money.
Kofi is doing his absolute best.
Look, you're just thinking about the Brock party right now, and you can't stop laughing.
People dubbing the over that and putting, like, Backstreet Boys... Rock
literally,
Your Body, I couldn't think of the song.
Literally anything you say is going to make me laugh.
Yeah, that was fucking gold.
It reminds me of when he did the mariachi thing. And it's like, you don't expect Brock Lesnar to be this goofy character. And when he is, it's both funny and still frightening.
I loved that Seth Rollins just walked out of the ring. He was like,
wasn't he playing Seth Rollins' music on his boombox?
Yeah. He changed.
I didn't see this. I just saw that there was a boombox.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's the Money in the Bank briefcase. They have added speakers to the back of it.
I saw that.
God.
That was it.
That is the only good.
I just saw like a thumbnail of it.
Yeah, that's the only good thing in WWE right now is that fucking briefcase.
Oh, I never thought Brock Lesnar would be entertaining again, but here he is doing the Brock party.
It's a good design.
We're just over an hour. Let's call it a day. Yeah, let's get out of here before these tornadoes hit. I want to thank Dalton and Allie for being on the show. We wish Asa could have been here so much because he really does provide an anchor that we need to not just jump off the rails completely. We
brought it back in every time.
Eventually. That opening segment went 30 minutes. We don't normally do that. We'll be back tomorrow with After Dark. We don't normally do that. Not the opening segment.
We do
segment.
That a lot.
Not the opening segment.
There's lots of times that we go, okay, we're on the first or second story, and it's been 30 minutes.
Is your ideal wrestler blonde hair and blue eyes?
I feel like however I answer this, it's a trap.
All right, we're gonna get out of here tomorrow.
You're not your brother.
Podzilla After Dark. We'll be talking about something. We'll try to have an actual idea instead of just coming up with like seven lists. Tomorrow.
That worked yesterday, or that worked last week.
Or it'll be a list of things. Oh, we'll have a new segment on the show. We'll do a list about things we do lists on.
I have to close tomorrow, so I won't be there. So have fun.
Good.
Because I wouldn't be able to participate in the list anyway because you hate me.
Well, you wouldn't be able to participate in the list anyway because you never know what we're talking about.
You would have done good last week.
Is that why I hate you?
Yes.
She was there last week.
Oh, you did good last week.
Why does everyone keep forgetting she was there last week? And I re-listened to the show. I didn't even introduce her.
You dickhole.
Yeah, I didn't realize
it. We need to cut the show now before you get in trouble.
No, I want to personally apologize to you because I didn't realize until I re-listened to the show. Stop slinking down in your chair. Come on, Allie, before we get out of here, tell everybody about your favorite new meme, and then we'll go.
It's your favorite new meme.
But it's someone you like.
Can you tell me about your favorite new meme, Allie?
Tell them.
It's the Billie Eilish Simpsons meme.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Very funny. She is done. I'm going to put some food in her. That'll cheer her right up. Put a little meat in her. She's solid. Podzilla1985.com. Catch up on the old episodes, including the newer ones. We did Nerd Up on Sunday. We did not do a show last night because Asa, again, under the weather, and Allie and I just didn't feel like it. But we could have, because we could have talked about Brightburn. And instead, we chose not to. We just went home, and you played The Sims. She's nodding. She's no longer speaking on the show. Podzilla, patreon.com/podzilla1985. If for whatever reason you're dumb enough that you want to support us with money, you can go there. At $1 get you the pre-show, and there's probably some stuff for more than that. $420.69. You can get Allie to say the F word, but stay tuned. She might just unload here in a few minutes just for fun. $20, you can pelt Dalton with eggs.
Yep.
That is not a joke. We already have some contenders.
I don't know if anyone
and
else
And Facebook.com/Podzilla1985.
Derek's question, but they can be hard-boiled because you provide the eggs, so it's up to you.
Can they be rotten eggs?
You provide them.
Think about it, guys. We'll see you tomorrow for Podzilla After Dark. Let's get those eggs in on Dalton's face. Good night.